This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of osteochondritis desiccans from the Knee and Sports section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. Osteochondritis desiccans is a pathologic lesion affecting articular cartilage and subchondral bone with variable clinical patterns. Diagnosis may be made radiographically, for example, the notch view on radiographs, but MRI is usually required to determine the size and stability of the lesion and to document the degree of cartilage injury. Treatment may be non-operative with restricted weight bearing in children with open physes. Surgical treatment may be indicated in older patients, that is, they have closed physes, lesions that are unstable, and patients who have failed conservative management. Now, let's get into the episode. With respect to the epidemiology, as far as demographics, the juvenile form of osteochondritis desiccans, that is with open physes, occurs at age 10 to 15 while the physis is still open. The adult form occurs after skeletal maturity. With respect to the location of osteochondritis desiccans, the knee is most common, specifically the posterolateral aspect of the medial femoral condyle, where 70% of the lesions in the knee are located. Other locations include the capitellum of the humerus, as well as the talus in the ankle. With respect to the pathophysiology, as far as the mechanism slash etiology, this may be hereditary, traumatic, or vascular, and specifically the cause of the adult form is thought to be vascular in etiology. As far as the pathoanatomic cascade of osteochondritis desiccans, first there is softening of the overlying articular cartilage with an intact articular surface. Then there's early articular cartilage separation, then a partial detachment of the lesion, and finally osteochondral separation with loose bodies. Now let's move on to the classification of osteochondritis desiccans, and the one to know is the Clanton and DeLee classification of osteochondritis, and this is divided into four types. Type 1 is characterized by a depressed osteochondral fracture. Type 2 is characterized as a fragment attached by an osseous bridge. Type 3 is characterized by a detached, non-displaced fragment, and type 4 is characterized as a displaced fragment. With respect to the presentation of osteochondritis desiccans, patients typically have symptoms of pain, certain mechanical symptoms, and recurrent effusions of the knee. The pain is typically activity-related pain that is vague and poorly localized. Mechanical symptoms indicates advanced disease. Physical exam may reveal localized tenderness, stiffness, swelling, and a positive Wilson's test, which is pain with internally rotating the tibia during extension of the knee between 90 and 30 degrees, then relieving the pain with tibial external rotation. With respect to imaging, recommended views on radiographs include a weight-bearing anteroposterior radiograph as well as lateral radiographs. Also obtain what's known as a tunnel notch view, where the knee is bent between 30 and 50 degrees. An MRI is useful for characterizing the size of the lesion, the status of the subchondral bone and cartilage, signal intensity surrounding the lesion, and presence of loose bodies. Treatment of osteochondritis desiccans can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes restricted weight-bearing and bracing, and this is indicated in stable lesions in children with open physes, as well as asymptomatic lesions in adults. With respect to outcomes of restricted weight-bearing and bracing, 50 to 75% of patients will heal without fragmentation. Operative options for osteochondritis desiccans include diagnostic arthroscopy, subchondral drilling with a K-wire or a drill, fixation of the unstable lesion, chondral resurfacing, and total knee arthroplasty. Diagnostic arthroscopy as an operative treatment for osteochondritis desiccans is indicated in impending physeal closure, clinical signs of instability, expanding lesions on plain films, as well as failed non-operative management. Subchondral drilling with K-wire or a drill is indicated for a stable lesion seen on arthroscopy and is performed either transchondral or retrograde. With respect to outcomes of this option, this leads to formation of fibrocartilaginous tissue, and there are improved outcomes in skeletally immature patients. Fixation of an unstable lesion is indicated when there is an unstable lesion seen on arthroscopy or MRI that is greater than 2 centimeters in size. With respect to outcomes of this option, there are 85% healing rates in juvenile osteochondritis desiccans. With respect to chondral resurfacing, this is indicated for large lesions that is greater than 2 by 2 centimeters. And finally, knee arthroplasty is indicated in patients over 60 years of age. Now, let's go over some of these surgical techniques in a bit more detail. Specifically, we'll talk about microfracture, internal fixation, and osteochondral grafting. The technique for a microfracture is tapping an awl to a depth of 1 to 1.5 centimeters below the articular surface. Postoperatively, these patients will be non-weight-bearing for 4 to 6 weeks with a continuous passive motion machine. As far as the technique for internal fixation, options for fixation include cannulated screws, Herbert screws, bone pegs, and Kirschner wires. The cons of this option is that it may require hardware removal. Finally, with respect to osteochondral grafting, arthrotomy versus arthroscopy is indicated in lesions greater than 3 centimeters. As far as the technique, this can be done either open versus arthroscopic. But keep in mind that arthroscopy is generally used for lesions less than 3 centimeters, and arthrotomy is used for lesions greater than 3 centimeters. You can use allograft plugs or autograft OATS, which is an abbreviation for osteoarticular transfer system, which is a surgical procedure used to treat focal cartilage defects. One other surgical technique to be aware of is a periosteal patch, which is typically used in the setting of an autologous chondrocyte implantation. With respect to the prognosis, we'll talk about both the prognosis of the juvenile form and the adult form. With respect to the juvenile form, the prognosis correlates with age, the location, and the appearance. With respect to the age, a younger age correlates with a better prognosis. Remember that open distal femoral physes are the best predictor of a successful non-operative management. With respect to location in the juvenile form, lesions in the lateral femoral condyle and patella have poorer prognosis. With respect to the appearance of osteochondritis desiccans in the juvenile form, sclerosis on X-rays correlates with a poorer prognosis, and synovial fluid behind the lesion on MRI correlates with a worse prognosis. With respect to the prognosis of the adult form, this typically has a worse prognosis and is usually symptomatic and leads to degenerative joint disease if untreated. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, an athlete presents with a several-month history of gradually worsening knee pain. History, examination, and imaging is consistent with osteochondritis desiccans of the knee. All of the following confer a good prognosis with non-operative treatment except, and the choices are 1. Open physes, 2. Location of the lesion at the lateral aspect of the medial femoral condyle, 3. Sclerosis of the lesion on plain radiographs, 4. Lesion size of 1.5 centimeters, and 5. Intact articular surface with no lesion fragmentation on MRI. The correct answer to this question is 3. Sclerosis of the lesion on plain radiographs. So marked sclerosis on plain radiographs confer a poor prognosis with non-operative management of osteochondritis desiccans lesions. Skeletal immaturity, a classic location of the lesion at the lateral aspect of the medial femoral condyle, lesion size of less than 2 centimeters, and a stable appearance on MRI are all indicative of a good prognosis with non-operative management. To quickly review, osteochondritis desiccans lesions are most common among patients aged 10 to 15 years old. The etiology is unclear, but likely multifactorial, with hereditary, vascular, and genetic factors all contributing. MRI is the imaging study of choice to determine lesion stability. Non-operative management is recommended in skeletally immature patients with stable lesions consisting of activity modification and limited weight bearing. The goal of non-operative management is to promote healing in situ and prevent lesion displacement. Carey et al. Detailed their preferred treatment algorithm for osteochondritis desiccans lesions in athletes. Patients with asymptomatic lesions discovered incidentally may continue to play but should be monitored closely for development of pain/swelling and followed yearly with radiographs and MRI. Skeletally immature athletes with symptomatic yet stable osteochondritis desiccans lesions are managed non-operatively with an unloader brace and activity modification. Unstable lesions are managed surgically based on quality of the lesion. Salvageable lesions are treated with fixation plus or minus bone grafting, while unsalvageable lesions are excised and treated with subsequent autologous chondrocyte implantation. Crawford et al. Authored a review article on osteochondritis desiccans lesions of the knee. During the early workup of an osteochondritis desiccans lesion, plain radiographs should be obtained to provide initial data regarding the location, size, and presence of sclerosis. MRI is valuable to determine the quality of the cartilage and lesion stability. Signs of instability on MRI include high signal intensity behind the lesion on T2 images, high signal extending from the joint surface indicating a cartilage breach, and loose bodies. Pawlowski et al. Reviewed the etiology, natural history, and proposed management of juvenile osteochondritis desiccans lesions. Stable OCD lesions should be managed with non-operative treatment for a minimum of 6 months. Surgical management is recommended for stable lesions that have failed conservative management or unstable lesions. Stable lesions can be treated with arthroscopic drilling, either retrograde or antegrade, to stimulate healing. Options for unstable lesions include fixation, that is, with a metallic screw, bioabsorbable implants, or biologic fixation with osteochondral plugs, versus salvage procedures such as microfracture, OATS, and autologous chondrocyte implantation. Moving on to the next question. A 16-year-old boy has had knee pain for the past 6 months, and activity restrictions have not provided relief. An MRI scan reveals a stable 1.5 centimeter by 1 centimeter osteochondritis desiccans on the weight-bearing surface of the lateral femoral condyle. What is the best course of treatment? And the choices are 1. Continued activity restrictions for 6 more months or until asymptomatic. 2. An aggressive physical therapy program that includes closed-chain quadriceps strengthening. 3. Arthroscopic drilling of the subchondral bone. 4. Open debridement and screw fixation. And 5. Osteochondral autograft transplant procedure. The correct answer to this question is 3. Arthroscopic drilling of the subchondral bone. So as a child approaches skeletal maturity, osteochondritis desiccans lesions are unlikely to heal with continued non-surgical management. Drilling of the lesion has a high success rate. The lesion is stable and an open repair or osteochondral transplant is not needed. Moving on to the next question. Which area of the knee is most likely to be affected by a juvenile osteochondritis desiccans lesion? And the choices are 1. Lateral aspect of the medial femoral condyle. 2. Lateral aspect of the lateral femoral condyle. 3. Medial aspect of the lateral femoral condyle. 4. Medial facet of the patella. And 5. Lateral facet of the patella. The correct answer to this question is 1. Lateral aspect of the medial femoral condyle. So more than 70% of juvenile OCD lesions are found in the classic area of the posterolateral aspect of the medial femoral condyle, with inferior central lateral condylar lesions accounting for only 15% to 20% of cases, and femoral trochlear lesions seen in less than 1% of cases. The knee is the most common site of osteochondrosis in growing children, which is seen in an estimated 0.002% to 0.003% of knee radiographs. The review article by Coker et al. States that non-operative initial management consisting of non-weight bearing with crutches, continued knee range of motion exercises, and close follow-up is indicated for stable lesions in skeletally immature patients. Operative treatment is indicated for any detached or unstable lesions in which physeal closure is imminent or completed and non-operative management has failed. Cahill presents level 5 evidence including his criterion for operative indications, including 1. Detachment or instability of the fragment while the patient is under treatment, 2. Persistence of symptoms in a compliant patient, 3. Persistently elevated or worsening bone scan activity, and 4. Approaching epiphyseal closure. He reports his personal series of 204 juvenile OCD patients and reports that 50% of juvenile OCD patients ultimately required surgery. He cites fragment detachment occurred in 34% and persistent symptoms or combined indications comprised 26% of the failures. Moving on to the next question. A 10-year-old boy has atraumatic progressive right knee pain for 2 months. He denies fevers or mechanical knee symptoms. His exam is completely normal and symmetric to his left knee. Radiographs of the right knee demonstrate open growth plates and a well-circumscribed 1 by 1 centimeter area of sclerotic subchondral bone with a radiolucent halo separating this area from his femoral epiphysis. What is the best initial treatment plan? And the choices are 1. Arthroscopic microfracture. 2. Activity modification. 3. Antegrade drilling. 4. Arthroscopic reduction and fixation. And 5. Arthroscopic excision. The correct answer to this question is 2. Activity modification. So this child has osteochondritis desiccans of the lateral femoral condyle with open growth plates. More than 70% of juvenile osteochondritis desiccans lesions are found in the classic area of the posterolateral aspect of the medial femoral condyle, with inferior central lateral condylar lesions accounting for only 15% to 20% of cases and femoral trochlear lesions seen in less than 1% of cases. The knee is the most common site of osteochondrosis in growing children, which is seen in an estimated 0.002% to 0.003% of knee radiographs. The cited review by Schneck and Goodnight concluded that the outcomes of distal femur OCD lesions in skeletally immature patients are good, and these lesions usually heal without surgical treatment. Limitation of activity may diminish stresses across the OCD lesion and prevent displacement. Only about 15% of juvenile OCD cases present in the lateral femoral condyle, with the majority occurring in the lateral aspect of the medial femoral condyle. In adult patients, the rate of non-operative healing is very low. Other indications in this child for operative intervention would be failure of non-operative treatment, mechanical locking from a loose body, or radiographic evidence of a displaced fragment. Moving on to the next question. Which of the following factors is the best predictor of successful non-operative management of an osteochondritis desiccans lesion in the knee? And the choices are 1. Open femoral phthisis, 2. Location in the knee, 3. High signal behind the lesion on MRI, 4. Articular cartilage thickness, and 5. Body mass index. The correct answer to this question is 1. Open femoral phthisis. So to quickly review, osteochondritis desiccans is an acquired, potentially reversible, idiopathic lesion of the subchondral bone, resulting in delamination and sequestration with or without articular cartilage involvement and instability. While there is a typical location, that is the medial femoral condyle, and thickness, these do not appear to be predictive of healing. A fluid signal on MRI behind the lesion indicates that the fragment is unstable and is less likely to heal, according to the DSMET et al. Article. The correct answer comes from a 12-patient study where Paletta et al. Reviewed quantitative bone scans to find that 100% of patients with open femoral phthisis that had activity behind the lesions went on to heal, but none healed in adolescents with closing phthisis. Moving on to the next question. An 11-year-old boy complains of 4 weeks of medial knee pain that began while playing tennis. Examination shows reproduction of pain with internal rotation of the tibia during extension of the knee and relief of pain with tibial external rotation. A radiograph and MRI show an osteochondritis desiccans lesion on the medial femoral condyle. On the MRI image, the cartilage appears to be intact and the lesion is not displaced. Which of the following is the most appropriate initial treatment? And the choices are 1. Arthroscopic removal of the fragment, 2. Arthroscopic open reduction and internal fixation, 3. Arthroscopic microfracture drilling, 4. Non-weight bearing for 6 to 8 weeks, and 5. Full weight bearing with avoidance of athletic activity. The correct answer to this question is 4. Non-weight bearing for 6 to 8 weeks. So the radiograph and MRI described show an osteochondritis desiccans lesion on the medial femoral condyle. On the MRI image, the cartilage appears to be intact and the lesion is not displaced. A clear fluid line behind the fragment would indicate a poorer prognosis for healing with non-operative treatment. However, an initial period of non-operative treatment would be recommended for an intact lesion in a skeletally immature patient. Safran et al. Describes Wilson's test of the knee. External rotation of the tibia during gait indicates compensation for impingement of the tibial eminence on an OCD lesion of the medial femoral condyle. Wilson's test involves reproduction of pain on examination by internally rotating the tibia during extension of the knee between 90 degrees and 30 degrees, then relieving the pain with tibial external rotation. External rotation moves the eminence away from the lesion, relieving the pain. The patient has open phthisis and a stable appearing lesion, thus non-operative treatment should be tried initially. And moving on to the final question, an 11-year-old boy is referred to you by his primary care physician for activity-related knee pain. He plays baseball 10 months out of the year, primarily as a catcher. He denies locking, swelling, or giving way. Examination shows a slight effusion, tenderness over the medial femoral condyle, and full painless range of motion without ligamentous instability. His weight-bearing knee x-ray shows a medial femoral condyle osteochondritis desiccans lesion, as well as an open physis. Fluid-sensitive MRI shows a stable-appearing OCD lesion measuring 14 by 14 millimeters. What best describes the lesion and what is the best next step in treatment? And the choices are 1, unstable and treat with an osteochondral allograft, 2, stable and treat with a period of modified weight-bearing, 3, unstable and treat with arthroscopically aided internal fixation, 4, stable and treat with arthroscopically aided internal fixation, and 5, unstable and treat with a period of modified weight-bearing. The correct answer to this question is 2, stable and treat with a period of modified weight-bearing. So this patient has history and exam consistent with a symptomatic OCD lesion. The imaging demonstrates a stable-appearing OCD with a characteristic appearance on the medial femoral condyle without sclerosis or cystic changes of the underlying bone. The best course of treatment would be a period of modified weight-bearing. To quickly review once again, osteochondritis desiccans is a common condition among the skeletally immature. The underlying cause is not clear, however, it is thought that microtrauma or other insulting processes may cause diminution of the subchondral bone, leading to softening and separation of the articular cartilage. Symptoms may range from vague pain with activity to mechanical symptoms if the lesion is unstable or loose. Treatment is directed based on the stability of the lesion assessed on MRI. For stable, mildly symptomatic lesions, a course of limited weight-bearing and activity modification is indicated. Cahill, in 1995, reviewed treatment outcomes for OCD lesions. He noted that much of the data available at that time did not distinguish juvenile from adult OCD, and treatment approaches were broad and across a large spectrum. What was evident was the effectiveness of limited/partial weight-bearing for stable lesions, and that an open physis provided an improved prognosis. Carey et al. Published a case series and appropriate use criteria to illustrate the AAOS clinical practice guidelines put forth by Chambers et al. In 2016. A consensus was obtained regarding offering surgery to immature and mature patients for unstable/salvageable lesions. They suggested the patients should receive physical therapy and be followed closely clinically/radiographically in the postoperative period. That's all for this review about osteochondritis desiccans. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.